Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Week 8 edition of the Coach McVay Show, presented by Microsoft Surface. The Rams are off to Dallas to take on the Cowboys this week in an NFC showdown. I'm JB Long, DeMarco Farr at my side, and the head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay. You said yesterday that you were more encouraged in this team now than you were at the outset of the season, and I can see why. I think the three of us would all say the Rams are better than 3-4.
Yeah, and but we are 3-4, you know, and I think there's an opportunities when you look at the game, and you don't want to take away from the credit that Pittsburgh deserves for finding a way, but there was moments in that game, and I know our players know it, where, you know, we can seize that moment, we can overcome some of the different things, and there's those just those turning points that it can totally change the trajectory of the way that the game is finished, and we got to continue to do a good job of playing complementary ball, being able to play off of one another, pick each other up, and, you know, the sequence where we ended up getting the turnover coming out of the second half, they end up capitalizing and go up 10-9. You're saying, oh man, that's tough. However, I love the way that we ended up driving back down the field, you know, on our offense and being able to get a touchdown, convert the two-point conversion to a 17-10 game. Mm-hmm. I love the way that we got to stop defensively in a four-play sequence where we almost get a turnover on the second down, get the third down stops. Four plays later, they punt it back. And then, you know, Matthew Stafford makes a gutsy scramble on a third down and seven to get us inside the 35-yard line. Mm-hmm. We're up 17-10. There's under 2 minutes left in the third quarter. And to come away with no at the end of that drive, there's a minute and a half left in the third quarter, but to come away with no points there when there was some chances, whether it's to go up 10, to end up getting a touchdown with some of the opportunities that we had in the three-play sequence after that. Those are those moments that you can seize, and then, you know, they were able to grab some of the momentum back in their favor, and, you know, we can get those things done. I know we can, and that's where I come away encouraged. You know, but we are what our record says. There's a lot of football left to be played, but there's too many good moments throughout these seven games, and there's too many opportunities for us to say, all right, how do we figure out how to bottle that up? And that's something that I got to do a better job of figuring out how to help in regards to the consistency throughout the all four quarters and being able to play off of you know, one another as it relates to offense, defense, and special teams. But I love working with this group, and you know, you want to have them feel some of these things that I think they're working towards, and I think it's going to come. You know, I know I've been around this game too long, and it's to a fault, you know, too much of my life, DeMarco.
But no.
I love this stuff, and you just know when it's, you know, when it's there, and, mm-hmm. and you can take advantage of some of the opportunities as opposed to, man, you're just really far away, and that is not the case at all with this team.
You got a long way to go, man.
Yeah.
We're at the embryo stage. But I'm with you, man. I mean, that's one of those games where you want to saw a car in half, where you're just upset. Not at people, but just, damn, that's one you should have had.
Yeah, you're disappointed. Yeah. You know, there's a difference between being disappointed and discouraged. And, you know, I'm disappointed because I know what we're capable of. Mm-hmm. And I think the best thing about this group, DeMarco, is I want us all to look inward, right? Where are the decisions and the situations and the circumstances where I could provide better clarity, better decision-making, better overall management for our team? Where are the situations that our players could execute within their roles and their techniques and whatever they're asked to, you know, to get mm-hmm. done, you know, on any given play? And if we can all feel that way as coaches and players and then apply it with the right mindset and the right spirit moving forward, it's all you can do, and you can be proud of the way you handle it, and, you know, and that's what it's about.
You don't have to be an NFL mind to know that you need to kick the football better, but I bet behind every missed field goal in the NFL, there's a sequence of events that say, well, why are you kicking the field goal in the first place, right? That somewhere on that offense, there was a breakdown that brought the kicking unit onto the field. So it's not just Brett Maher this
week, and, you know, there's some long attempts. You know, we got to make the extra point. You know, it's a good protection, and it's something that he's done really consistently. But I do think you want to understand the fact that a lot of these misses are in that, you know, 50-plus range, which, you know, that's a challenging kick. I don't care whether you're Brett Maher, whether you're the Matt Gaze of the world, but you know, you look at everything, and it's not exclusive to just that kick, but that's where you kick yourself in some of those situations that lead up to it. All right, well, what could we have done on the third down and five when we have the first 53-yarder? It's one of those deals that you just go back to work, you apply the lessons you learn, and you don't let the Steelers' disappointment beat you twice as you start to prepare mm-hmm. for the
Cowboys. It is an interesting week, though, for Brett and for the Rams. Rams, going to Dallas for one. He's got a lot of history there. And I imagine it's tough to find an NFL caliber replacement in the middle of a season at that position.
I think you look at all those things, and it's not exclusive to the kicker. You know, you're always looking at, all right, what's the landscape of the league, whether it be free agency, practice squads, you know, even some of the stuff with the trade deadline. What are the ways that you can upgrade and provide an opportunity to have the most competitive situation for our football team? And so, you know, we'll always monitor those things. Do we want to be better and more consistent? Yeah, of course, you know, and that's not something that we're going to run away from. But I do think you want to be understanding to the fact that, you know, they're not, you know, short field goals that he was missing yesterday. The extra point, you know, and the margin for error is really slim, and it's a challenging job to be a kicker in this league.
Yeah, let he who is without the first mistake, whatever, cast the first. Everybody makes mistakes.
Sure.
His are just magnified. And shout out to Watt. The big guy caught it. Amazing. But that was the only play he made in the game. That I think that speaks to your game plan and how you were running the football, keeping them off balance. Yeah.
You know, but that play was certainly impactful.
Yeah.
And,
he caught it. I mean, give him credit.
Was a great play.
Yeah, great play.
It was a good play by him.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing, winning is great deodorant, because in some respects, I thought you played better in a loss than you did in a win, if that makes any sense. You
know, which one?
Like Arizona. I thought you did some things better this week, but the result wasn't what you wanted. It's just football's weird that way.
It is weird. And that's where, when you look at the way that the game unfolds and how reliant you are on each side and each phase, and how we can do a better job, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, well, what is an example of complementary football that I know we can improve upon? All right. When our defense is doing a great job of basically choking out their offense in the beginning of the game, now you're saying, well, how did they get their first 10 points? Well, I'll tell you, their first 3 points that they got were when they got the ball on the minus 43-yard line. Mm-hmm. And they only had to go 7 plays and not really get many yards at all to be able to hit a 53-yard field goal themselves. All right, so we miss a field goal, then they end up, you know, going down and getting a 3-0 lead.
Right.
And then on the first play of the second half, they get the ball on the plus 7 going in, and 3 plays later they punch it in, and that's how they got their first 10 points of the game, when we basically going 3 and out, forcing them, you know, getting sacks, having free runners coming at them. And you know, those are where the complementary elements of making those kicks or being better to be able to get in field goal range where it's not so far out, or taking care of the football, or making better decisions to not leave ourselves susceptible to some of those things. That's the example of, you know, you got to be able to find a way to do that. And we can do that. I know I can be better for us. And you're right, man. But it's a sick feeling when you don't get the results you want, and you know that you feel like you didn't do some things that you can do that change ultimately the outcome of the game.
What do you make of the drops? And not just the drops, but drops by kind of your senior leaders.
Yeah, I think you have to look at it and just say, all right, well, what are the reasons? Are they fundamentals, techniques, or is it just one of those deals where it happens, you know? And and I think there's a combination of, you know, let's make sure that we're looking all the ball all the way through the catch. We're trusting ourselves. And, you know, when there's some tight window throws, you know, being able to just have great focus and concentration, staying grounded through the catch if applicable, and you know, trusting our hand-eye coordination. And in those situations, we've got guys that have shown that can, you know, you don't let those one-offs or those couple plays.
Sure.
That's an inevitable part of this game, but how do we make them more times than not? And then how do we seize the moment in some of those crunch time opportunities where points are at stake, or you got a chance to be able to put people away? But you show me a great player, I'll show you a guy that's had some mistakes. But the key thing is how do we respond?
I'll show you a Michael Hoyt that was kicking some tail out there. How about that kid?
He did a great job. Yeah. You know,
hell of a stat line, yeah.
He had some good stats, and then, you know, he had some matchups, too, where he better win, you know, against some of those looks, too.
And when you're unblocked, you better get him?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, but it was...
No, but he's a stud. Yeah. He's done a really good job. I'm really happy for, you know, the progress and the improvement and the way that he's playing, you know, through 7 games this season.
Mm-hmm.
What about the running back rotation? You asked a lot of two individuals in particular, Royce Freeman, first real live action in a long time, and for Darrell, about a calendar year since he'd been in Horns.
How about that? No, they both did a really good job. You know, we were able to run the football efficiently. We're able to stick with it and get a handful of carries off. It was some dirty runs, you know, but they were able to, you know, fall forward, get good body lean. I thought we were able to get fairly good removal at the point of attack, and I thought they both did a nice job when they were asked to be, you know, protectors in protection as well. And so Ron Gould did an excellent excellent job getting those two guys ready to go. I know Zach Evans would have been ready if he was asked to go, and we'll continue to get Myles Gaskin up to speed as we look towards the Cowboys.
Royce Freeman was bringing it, and Darryl was. Saw Darryl on the way in. He said he looks he's thinner than he was. He looks bigger to me, but I like his physicality. He looks thicker up top. I mean, I just like the physicality.
Yeah, and that's always been his brand of football. Yeah. You know, good center of gravity, good contact balance. I think that's illustrated as a runner and as a protector. And then Royce is heavy on contact, good forward body lean. I thought they did a nice job, and you know, they both had a handful of carries, and it was good production against a tough defense.
All right, who is Matthew Stafford really throwing the touchdown to?
Is it Tutu
Atwell or Cooper Kupp?
You'll have to ask him that one.
And were you thinking, hey, let it rip here in the final seconds of the second quarter? Or are you saying, no, don't take three off the board?
I thought that was a good decision because of where he did a great job of getting flush. You could see guys' backs were to him, and it was a favorable situation where he's throwing it up, and it's not just kind of a heave and a hope. That's with an intent behind it, knowing that guys are kind of working off schedule for him. And, he said it was a perfect way of knowing that, Cooper, and then he felt Tutu's vision come right back to it, and he knew he'd get that natural pick right on that goal line with Tutu screaming across. So exactly how we drew it
played
up.
Played the odds perfectly.
He knew that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Clairvoyant guy. But, it's funny. I mean, watching him play, he gets the whole pageantry of football. You know what I mean? And some of those scrambles I thought were just defense killers, and he just instinctively knew how to do it. It's just funny. I look at people when they say that he's not great. I'm like, well, are we looking at the same guy?
Yeah.
This guy gets it and knows how to win.
Yeah. He's a great competitor. He's a great player. That's why I was so disappointed when he ends up making a gutsy play on the 3rd and 7 to scramble for 8 when we had to have it. They bring a 2-safety simulated fire zone, and that was a big play where that's where you say, all right, hey, that's that momentum shift. You could see what it did to the sidelines, to everybody else. And it was really, that is where you got to be able to seize those moments. And he gave us an opportunity to be able to do that. And unfortunately, we weren't able to deliver as a team. And we'll learn from it and we'll move forward.
Can you replicate that at practice? You do situational stuff. I mean,
you can't replicate because the quarterback's not live and, some of those things. But, he's got such great instincts. Even he had a good scramble in the first drive, whereas a 3rd down and 4, he gets it to a 4th down and 1. We had a hold, unfortunately, that knocked us back that led to the sack. But there was too many times where I thought we got in our own way of putting ourselves behind the sticks because we've been a fairly efficient offense that's been able to move the ball. But we got to be able to score more points. We got to be able to be more, consistent in the execution with some of our operations as it relates to teams with our field goal unit. And that's going to lead to more points. But we've got to be able to start scoring more points because of the efficiency at which we're moving the football. Points is the number one thing, and we got to do a better job of that.
Well, I take it to a sequence in the third quarter. You talk about moving the football, and Puka proves that he is a receiver who can do both.
Yeah,
go up and get it at the left sideline, and then later run over a couple Steelers for a 20-yarder.
Yeah, that was what an unbelievable throw and catch, on the 30-plus yarder down the far sideline, and to be able to get his second foot in the ground. He made an unbelievable catch, going the opposite way on their sideline again that was called out of bounds, in that 2-minute situation at the end of the first half. But Puka is an absolute stud. Got a match up on kind of a switch verts play action right there. And he just went up and made a play, and I thought it was a perfect throw. And then when we ended up using the timeout on a 3rd down and 7, when we didn't really like the look that we had, those guys delivered in a big way, catches a shallow, and you better bring everything when you're tackling him. And he goes for 20 on that 3rd down and 7 that ultimately led to Darryl Henderson punching it in. So he's a man, and he played like a freaking stud yesterday.
The way his hair's on fire. Is this you, or are you trying to prove something? You know what I mean?
That's who he is.
That's who he
and
is.
He's,
yeah.
His toughness, the guy is I can't say enough good things about the way he competes, the humility that he has, and that's both with and without the football.
I saw him with his family pregame, and it almost brought me to tears. He gave him a hug, and then he ran out on the field, and the way they watched him, just wow, I get it. I see where this comes from with you.
Yeah, he's a special guy.
The word toughness there reminds me of Russ Yeast, the way he handled the blindside block early. And then really the rest of his game against Pickens, where I'm sure he was fired up and wanted some get back, but he kept it disciplined in a way where he doesn't cost you 15.
I thought that was big, and that was a really good job by Russ, being able to let his talking, be done in between the whistles and the way that he played and the way that he moved around and the way that he saw things. I agree. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, he tried. Pickens just ducked. Yeah, I mean, that was
he spoke with his footsteps.
No doubt. I love that. He's getting nothing but better. He is turning into like one of the division's best safeties.
He's doing a good job. You know, he's getting better and better. I think he's got a great example of what it looks like in Jordan Fuller. And I think Quentin Lake is making an impact as well. And I've been really pleased with that group.
I'll take you to officiating, but not in the way that I know you don't want to go. I'm just curious what your feel is currently for the right level of involvement with that eye in the sky. Like, are you the type of coach who would rather have every call be corrected in real time the way that we can with our technology? Or do you appreciate still having some of that human element?
No, I don't see any reason why. I mean, if you said my, I mean, because I don't think it disrupts the timing of it. You know, there's a lot of, there's enough situations that are very clear, but there are some that are those, all right, hey, how it looked out of the periphery or where my eyes were based on the amount of stuff that I'm responsible for looking at as a snap unfolds in 4 to 6 seconds that, yeah, I'm a fan in getting it right more consistently, especially if we've got the technology and the availability. And, you know, I don't know why you wouldn't be. Now, how can we make it as efficient as possible? Mm-hmm. Those are things that are above me, but I'd always rather have it be right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like 20 seconds later on that sneak, it's reviewable, it's weird, and there was nothing you can do in that last.
Yeah.
And you can tell, I mean, from where I was standing, you can tell his knee hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm it shouldn't have gotten to that point even on the third down, honestly. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's just, I mean, you look at it and, you know, I'll be interested to just see what we're seeing on the one, even when they had it as offsetting penalties. But I'm not so sure that I understood that one on the third down on Akello. That was interesting for me to understand.
Do you address with your players in any way? Because I know they're the ones putting their blood, sweat, and tears into it.
Here's the thing that you address is that that's out of our control. You know, what I'm interested in knowing from the refs are, all right, what are we seeing and how it's being officiated? So then how we can coach the techniques and the fundamentals. But after the fact, you know, when the call is made, we can't do anything about it. So we move on and you move forward the right way because that is over. And that's the truth. And that's how I feel as a coach. That's how we need to feel as a player, because whether they got it right or wrong, the call they made is the call they made, and how we have to handle it and how we respond is what's of the most important, you know, element in that moment. And then, you know, the education and the understanding is important for us based on how stuff is supposed to be officiated from New York.
I don't know what you tell them there. That's just me.
Yeah, no, I heard from some of them post-game.
Went off on the broadcast, yes.
They're frustrated.
Unbelievable.
Davis Allen getting more than just a taste yesterday. What to make of a tight end emerging as part of your rotation?
He did a good job. You know, we had some different 12 personnel groupings, and then he spelled Higby a little bit. And so I've been pleased with his, you know, Nick Cayley's such a good coach, does such a good job with that group, and been impressed and you know, and pleased with his kind of improvement, you know, as he's gotten more and more work.
Another rookie to layer in.
No doubt. When's the next practice? You need some help? I'm coming out. Yeah.
Wednesday.
Let me get on scout team. Let's go. I'm ready for Dallas. Come on. You're ready for Dallas. I know you are too.
Yeah. Before we get there, Sean always has better things to do than sit with us on a Monday evening. But this week in particular, we love you as a football coach. But over the last, 7 years, we really come to care about you as a person too. So we're excited for the McVay family this week.
Thank you for that.
We just want to send you all our best. How are you feeling with respect to welcoming a child into the world?
I feel good. You know, what a blessing it'll be. It still hasn't really set in. Should be here any day now. But, man, I can't believe we didn't find a way to get that dub.
Well, that's why they made next week.
No.
I heard exactly you. There's 10 games left, right?
No, there's a lot of football
use
left.
But this.
We're really,
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah,
more
yeah.
importantly, there's certain things that are bigger than football. I love working with this team. I'm excited how we move forward. But, man, am I excited about this addition to our family. And praying for a healthy and safe arrival here any day now.
Amen.
As are we. And I know you love the staff that you've assembled. How much in a moment like this does it feel good to lean on a Raheem Morris or a Mike LaFleur who you brought in? Who can take some off your plate this
week?
Yeah,
it does. You know, and I think the good thing is, you know, with the implementation of technology and the advances of how we can communicate, I can still be there physically present with Veronica, and then also still get a couple things done. And then when I need to be there and it's really go time, then I'll be there.
You got a couple of fathers laughing at you.
You can't be coaching in the delivery room, coach. You can't.
You guys are the one that told me so then, huh?
Wow.
In all seriousness, wish you the best.
Yes, sir.
Bring that young man into the world on a winning note this week against the Dallas Cowboys. For Sean McVay, for DeMarco Farr, I'm JB Long. Thank you for being with us for the Coach McVay Show, as always, presented by Microsoft Surface.